This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Happy New Year, everyone. In celebration of the new year, I'm going to host a poetry party tonight. You'll hear local poets, poets from afar, poets reading with and without music, all kinds of things in between. I'm more than certain that everyone listening to tonight's program is familiar with Antonio Vivaldi's Four Seasons. If you haven't been fortunate enough to sit down and listen to all four concerti, you have perhaps unfortunately heard pieces of them hijacked for television ads, background music in movies or restaurants, etc. But what you may not know is that when Vivaldi wrote The Four Seasons, he was writing what is called program music, music that portrays events, activities, or moods, and that he went to the extent of writing sonnets, one for each of the four concerti, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Vivaldi placed these beautiful poems right in the musical score of each concerto with clear indications of the specific music being described. The original sonnets are housed at the Houghton Library at Harvard University, but you can find them by searching online. Chances are, though, you've never heard them performed with Vivaldi's music. Tonight you will. What I'll do is this. I'll play two of the concerti, Spring and Winter, including the two sonnets written for them and placed in the music. And then I'll end with all four sonnets. The sonnets are read by Patrick Stewart, or if you prefer, Captain Jean-Luc Picard. The music is performed by the wonderful Arnie Roth, violin soloist and conductor, Musica Anima on strings, and Stephen Altop on harpsichord. Here now are the Spring and Winter concerti, followed by all four sonnets. Perhaps I'll play Summer and Fall later this year.
Spring. Spring has come, and joyfully the birds welcome it with cheerful song, and the streams, caressed by the breath of zephyrs, flow swiftly with sweet murmurings. But now the sky is cloaked in black, and thunder and lightning announce themselves. When they die away, the little birds return to fill the air with their sweet song. Thank you. Then, on the pleasant, flower-strewn meadow, to the gentle rustle of the leaves and branches, the goatherd rests, his faithful dog at his side. To the rustic bagpipes' gay sound, nymph and shepherd dance beneath the fair spring sky in all its glory.
Thank you.
winter. To shiver icily in the freezing dark, in the teeth of a cruel wind, to stamp your feet all the time, so chilled that your teeth chatter. Quiet contentment by the fireside, while outside the rain pours in torrents.
Thank you.
to walk on the ice with slow steps, in fear of falling, advance with care. Then to step forth strongly, fall to the ground, and again run boldly on the ice until it cracks and breaks. To listen as from the iron portals rush winds from south and north, all the winds in contest. Such is winter, such the joy it brings.
That concludes the spring and winter portions of The Four Seasons by Antonio Vivaldi, with the sonnets written for those pieces of music. Now I'm going to play all four of the sonnets, spring, summer, winter, and fall. These again are read by Patrick Stewart.
Spring. Spring has come, and joyfully the birds welcome it with cheerful song. And the streams, caressed by the breath of zephyrs, flow swiftly with sweet murmurings. But now the sky is cloaked in black, and thunder and lightning announce themselves. When they die away, the little birds return to fill the air with their sweet song. Then, on the pleasant, flower-strewn meadow, to the gentle rustle of the leaves and branches, the goatherd rests, his faithful dog at his side. To the rustic bagpipes' gay sound, nymph and shepherd dance beneath the fair spring sky in all its glory. Summer. In the torrid heat of the blazing sun, man and beast alike languish, and even the pine trees scorch. The cuckoo raises its voice, and soon after, the turtle doves and finch join in the song. Sweet zephyrs blow, but then the fierce north wind intervenes. The shepherd weeps, anxious for his fate from the harsh, menacing gusts. He rouses his weary limbs from rest, in fear of the lightning, the fierce thunder, while gnats and flies in furious swarms surround him. Alas, his fears are justified, for furious thunder and lightning split the heavens, bowing the trees and flattening the crops. Autumn. The peasants celebrate with song and dance the joy of gathering a bountiful harvest, and with generous draughts of Bacchus' cup, their joy finishes in slumber. Song and dance are done. The gentle, pleasant air and the season invite one and all to the delights of sweetest sleep. At first light, the huntsman sets out with horns, guns, and dogs, putting his prey to flight and following its tracks. Terrified and exhausted by the great clamor of guns and dogs, wounded and afraid, the prey tries to flee, but is caught and dies. Winter. To shiver icily in the freezing dark, in the teeth of a cruel wind, to stamp your feet all the time, so chilled that your teeth chatter. To remain in quiet contentment by the fireside, while outside the rain pours in torrents. To walk on the ice with slow steps, in fear of falling, advance with care. Then to step forth strongly, fall to the ground, and again run boldly on the ice until it cracks and breaks. To listen as from the iron portals rush winds from south and north, all the winds in contest. Such is winter. Such the joy it brings.
You have been listening to the music and sonnets of the Four Seasons, written by Antonio Vivaldi. This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Up next is Franz Wright. Franz Wright's collections of poetry include The Before Life, God's Silence, and Walking to Martha's Vineyard, which won the Pulitzer Prize in 2004. His father was the poet James Wright, and as far as I know, James and Franz Wright are still the only father-son pair to win the Pulitzer Prize in the same category. Franz Wright's most recent collection of poetry is Wheeling Motel. He had selections from this book put to music for the record Readings from Wheeling Motel. He recently sent me a CD of these readings, and I'll play a few selections now. Here is Franz Wright, along with the musical contributions of Daniel Ahern and Michael Rosen.
Readings from Wheeling Motel.
Another working dawn. The dreamer was still soaring high above an endless city. The whole place could go in the time it takes a struck match to ignite. He found himself sad to say, drowning inside of land, was revealed to possess a mannequin-like pubic region. Nothing there but blank, hairless flesh. Hallelujah. Was entering the precise number of times children's voices are heard in Rambo. Scribbling in the margins something about a rainy doorway. And how could I ever have been bored? Music told me early I should be filled with joy. The sound of someone crying woke him up, and it was him. The exceptional instrument who took very poor care of itself. The leaf who thought it was a tree. Lover of words, illuminations, death mask. And let's get one thing straight. They were never about. Those lines say on stars. The hell with the stars. They were about perception of the stars. He turned the covers back like a page that weighed 10 pounds. Book in no known tongue. Book that would not exist. Truly, could he have foreseen the misery it would cause? But I ask you, voice that is nowhere and everywhere, what did not in time become a source of suffering? At 54, an instant of lucidity, an hour outside of time, a life. I glance at the left hand, unclenched in the sunlight, shining on my desk, and think of my friends. Recent cremation. That takes a while. And I can't wait to return to this chair in which I am sitting. This world, the one where each object stands for nothing at all but its own inexplicable existence. Wheeling Motel. The vast waters flow past its backyard. You can purchase a six-pack in bars. Tammy Wynette's on the marquee, a block down. It's 25 years ago. You went to death. I to life. And which was luckier, God only knows. There's this line in an unpublished poem of yours. The river is like that. A blind familiar. The wind will die down when I say so. The leaden and lessening light on the current. Then the moon will rise. like the word reconciliation. Like Walt Whitman examining the tear on a dead face.
This is Catherine Hastings. You just heard three selections from Franz Wright's CD, Wheeling Motel. That's Franz Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. If you want any more information about this recording, please contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Up next, I'm very pleased to present two Santa Rosa poets, Tony Wilkes and Gregory Randall. Tony Wilkes' chapbook, Stepping Through Moons, was published by Finishing Line Press and was nominated for the California Book Award and the Penn USA Literary Award. She has a second book coming out from Finishing Line in 2011, Black Water Beneath a Lid of Ice. Gregory Randall's chapbook, Double Happiness, was selected by Mark Doty for the 2009 Camber Press Chapbook Prize. Chapbooks published in 2010 include A Room in the Country, Pudding House Press, and Uncommon Refrains, published by The Lives You Touch Publications. Tony Wilkes and Gregory Randall are married, and they gave a braided reading of their poems not long ago, and that's what they're going to do for you tonight. Here are Tony Wilkes and Gregory Randall.
This is a braid of poems that is essentially about what defines and what constitutes family. It takes as its subject a mother and her husband tending to her daughter in a hospital after her daughter's stroke. The poems that Tony will be reading come from her chapbook, Black Water Beneath a Lid of Ice. The poems that I read come from my chapbook, Uncommon Refrains. There are a couple of instances in which we read two poems together, which are from Tony's manuscript.
Living the word stroke. Hide away in sleep on budded rose. Drift through black water beneath a lid of ice. Lick the lozenge, gulp the draught to hide away in sleep. Wear long slithers of smoke, caterpillar up your spine, pouring black water beneath this lid of ice. Hands thread a monkey stitch, tatting on your scalp, while you hide away in sleep. They hose your throat, clamp locks your skull. You're bound to black water beneath a lid of ice. Awake, you see erector sets, nurses swimming below the bed. Best you hide away. Sleep on in black water beneath this lid of ice. Yesterday's Silver Strand Beach. We thread colors into canvas. Beyond the glass panes, the beach remakes itself. An Agatha Christie mystery plays. You pull stitches, the sampler for your someday home. The beach redraws itself. Low tide, surf, barely breaking. 49 days, 49 nights. 49 days, 7 weeks, and when I unfold from my chair, I can't feel my feet anymore. My son-in-law tells me to pump my legs, physical therapy for this stint in ICU. But all I can do is knit baby doll blankets from a single skein of yarn and monitor my daughter. Fluid in, fluid out, morphine or dilaudid today. I look through plate glass to the nurse's station and wonder if caged fear produces its own smell. Inhale a betadine stew with hair oils and urine. If I leave her, I may lose my chair, or they won't buzz me in, or they'll whisk her away in her bed for a CAT scan. That when I return from the cafeteria with a hard-boiled egg to chop into a sandwich, I'll find housekeeping, swabbing her empty room and asking me how I'm doing today. Some days, I feel like I've fallen into a tale of two cities, yet, unlike Madame Defarge, I'm knitting my own name in the blanket.
Uncommon Refrains. because the night nurse takes frequent smoke breaks, and because too many narcotics maraud through your veins for you to be allowed to sleep, I volunteered to keep you awake tonight. Because I only remember Gin Rummy, and because you say to me, being in a hospital gown, strip poker seems grossly unfair, we form melds and discard deadwood. Because pine trees remain green in winter and are symbols of survival, I recount for you every forest I've ever hiked. Because your mother and I collect sea rocks every summer, with holes scoured by merciless grains of sand, and say to each other, see, nothing lasts. I don't mention this. Because we need a sense of equilibrium, I tell you, slack water is a brief moment when no tidal influence exerts itself on the sea, like now, when the phone's silent, and the needs of a husband and young girl don't yank on your conscience like a gibbous moon. Because the future of our altered lives seems too intense for tonight, we seek to replicate a time we sat with your mother in tranquil shade on the continent's edge and gazed at marled waves and read ghost stories and guessed at the sex of your baby, then compared the sea's erratic colors to metals and to minerals to lend the moment a sense of permanence, because somewhere a bay fills with soil dug out of faraway mountains in pursuit of gold and will never swim so deep again.
Clerical visit. Today, a priest comes in, doesn't knock, just crashes open the door, strides to the bed where you thread sheets into a wad around your legs and mutter of drugs and cravings.
You must be the mother.
Shh.
I'm a priest. She wrote on her admission card that she's Catholic.
She couldn't write anything.
It says here.
She had a stroke. She needs her rest.
Then who wrote this?
Maybe her husband. He's Catholic.
Does she go to Mass with him?
I don't know. I guess. Sometimes.
Then, in her heart, she's Catholic. I will pray with her.
You should let her sleep.
I will pray by the door, then. Will you join me?
If you pray quietly. He doesn't.
I don't. She
you
wakes.
Wait.
I'll come back when her husband is here.
I made my daughter cell by cell. If I were you, I wouldn't. Rolling back. Blow the power lines, scissor the grid, roll back those movements of yarn. To you, not yet meshed, or knit, or corded, unravel the clot. Blow the power lines over the bed that spun you, wove to your brain a bleeding cluster. Roll back those moments and yarns of how you ran and grew and wished on dandelions over the power lines. Unstitch the pill of birth control. Too late. It boils your blood. No one can roll back these movements of yarn to that doctor's cure for aching cysts or zap the clot before it blew out your power lines. So stop rolling back those moments of yarn.
Unusual patterns. We say nothing to the night nurses who mistake me for your husband, who can't reconcile me as your stepfather. When your daughter visits, they struggle to discern any genetic similarities between us. We're beyond the point now of debunking their theories, their conjectures of what constitutes family, choosing instead to interact behind these panes of glass like mute figures in a tapestry whose roles and relations are merely guessed at. But last night they stopped me in the hall, questioned my role, even asked for ID, as if I could furnish them with papers that state, I answer incoming calls on 3 cell phones. I fetch meals and toiletries. I read aloud stories, flip channels, jot notes on drug regimes, track the level of fluid passing out of her body. I listen to the rapidity of her pulse, question the changing of saline, learn with my hands the contours of her spine, the knotted connective tissue, and replay every episode she's forgotten during periods of blackout and surgery, such as what her daughter's done, and what new words take shape in that young mouth, so whole segments of this woman's life won't evaporate. We're defined by our desire for survival, by a vested history whose scenes evolve ever further within these cloistered walls, as when thread is dyed, and one color enters and penetrates the fabric, altering our understanding of thread.
Things my daughter lost in hospitals. 1,027 strands of hair.
A smooth scalp.
Several inches of frontal bone.
A Tiffany bracelet.
39 liters of urine.
The call button.
Her patients.
A pear-shaped gallbladder.
Her husband's patients.
8 pints of blood.
Numerous stainless steel staples.
Her job.
1 deciliter of cerebral spinal fluid.
2 blue and white hospital gowns.
Her pink sweater.
The ability to have more children.
22 pieces of big red chewing gum.
41 days of consciousness.
Names of night nurses.
Names of day nurses.
6 Atik lollipops.
7 neurosurgeons.
218 sutures.
Her daughter's 6th birthday.
The desire for sex.
3 yellow bedpans.
Her blood-brain barrier.
5 years. Proserpina. Trust me, there exist outside these windows hills erupting with wildflowers, specks of unfurled poppies, bristles of yellow mustard grass. Trust me, mockingbirds have returned to the pepper trees to plagiarize the little ditties we whistle down the street. Maybe you'd begun to think you wouldn't see these signs of spring. But along the thoroughfares, sycamores make room for buds by shaking loose the last of their curled, arid leaves. And you too have come through. Lucky you. Altogether, we'll claw out of the opening of this cave to shards of sunlight, to sidewalks damp with the scent of rain, to cracked fields asserting patches of green thistle. Till next time, a shunt falters and fails, and your brain swells, or the distribution line grows brittle and stiff, and we'll spend our days scrutinizing your every gesture, waiting to descend once more into the caverns of hospital rooms.
Alone time. Then there's a part where I sit in the clothes I've worn for 3, maybe 4 days. I cast about to do something, and believe a day alone will answer the noise of flight arrangements, phone calls, appointments, some time to get back, yes, just to get back to neglected things. But I don't, because I can only sit. Just sit, maybe poke at a keyboard, weave from room to room, maybe call someone to break, just to break the silence. Mostly my mind's a blank where a person used to be, and tomorrow slides into yesterday, and today I can't even remember why I welcomed a day alone.
Girl reading. Life's inconvenient. You must know that by now, having watched your mother hauled off for 8 brain surgeries. Still, here you sit among stacks of picture books in a winged back chair, your feet dangling over the edge like a parachutist anticipating the earth. You're not even 4, and yet every next time I see you or speak with you on the phone, you amaze me with your burgeoning language. I know you can't read. Everyone knows you can't read. And yet, you're so earnest in this quest to enhance your words and your understanding of things, and your escape plan. Fair Seuss, tell you a story. I might tell you that if you folded this white sheet of paper in half, and folded it again, and could keep folding it over on itself so many times, you could make a path from your bedroom to the moon. Only, I'll skip this story for tonight, because in the morning, coming into your room, I might find either heaps of paper scrap or a thin trail leading out the window, and your absence.
Life carries her gently. What was her name? Patricia? No, that's not it. The neuro nurse, the one who explained that after her stroke, no one else will notice, but you and her husband will see subtle shifts. What was her name? A P name. Paula? That's it, Paula. 5 years later, some things embed flashbulb memories, keeping her breathing, somewhat coherent, helping her make monumental decisions about the pros and cons of ventricular shunt. Her husband hellbent against what he saw as something else to maintain. Ultimately, she required 9 shunts, her body clogging them as fast as surgeons could sew them in. Paula. Yes, this is about Paula's predictions. To you, she'll be a new person. But I prefer to see this woman from my body as fundamentally the same, except she doesn't have a cop on duty anymore. Most of what goes in her head comes out her mouth. Mostly, she knows that today may be all she'll ever get.
The past is concealed in doubt. Tonight, in the living room, with the dog sprawled at our feet, dark windows reflect back ourselves in lamplight, gesturing in silence like ghosts. Our past together seems shrouded, flashbacks venturing out like skiffs in a slithering fog, scrimmed and directionless. Tonight, we envy the dog his memory, which only clicks into place like puzzle pieces at the first smell of my sleeve, which then dissolves and evaporates as soon as I've gone. What it must be like not to ruminate, to exit a hospital and afterward no blood draws or pain levels or quarrels with doctors and family would linger to taunt us. It's become a luxury to focus on ordinary things, disheveled peonies, cracks in a wall, blue hydrangeas dried and arranged in a white pitcher. Somewhere around these objects must lurk the whereabouts of our prior selves. They say intelligence is a function of retrievable memory. So tonight, on the couch, we sniff each other's sleeves.
Greg and I would like to thank Catherine Hastings and her dedication to Word Temple for the opportunity to read today.
And this is Catherine Hastings. You have been listening to a braided reading by Tony Wilkes, T-O-N-I, Wilkes, and Gregory Randall. Up next, a little musical interlude, Mad World, sung by Adam Lambert, followed by E.E. Cummings' If Everything That Happens Can't Be Done.
I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very bad world. Bad world. Children waiting for a day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Made to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. I went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one knew me. Hello teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right.
Sweet spring is your time, is my time, is our time. For springtime is love time, and viva sweet love. All the merry little birds are flying in the floating in the very spirit, singing in the winging in the blossoming. Lovers go and lovers come. A-wandering, a-wandering, but any two are perfectly alone, there's nobody else alive. Such a sky and such a sun, I never knew and neither did you, and everybody never breathed quite so many kinds of yes. Not a tree can count his leaves, each herself by opening, but shining who by thousands mean only one amazing thing. Secretly adoring, shyly, tiny winging, darting, floating, merry in the blossoming, always joyful cells are singing. Sweet spring is your time, is my time, is our time. For springtime is love time, and viva sweet love.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you've been listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. I want to thank all of my guests tonight, especially Franz Wright, Tony Wilkes, and Greg Randall. For more information about the Word Temple Poetry Series at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, go to wordtemple.com. If you have any questions or comments about tonight's show, please send them to me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening.